Support for the Pop Shop Podcast comes from Audible, featuring more than 180,000 titles, including the latest releases, bestsellers, romances, thrillers, and lots more. Audible is the world's leading source of audiobooks. Start your 30-day free trial with a free audiobook on audible.com/billboard. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Joining me, as always, is Billboard.com senior editor Katie Atkinson. Hello, Katie.
Hi, Keith.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You have a lovely, well, by the time people are hearing this, it's Wednesday, so the weekend's quite in the past, but I still haven't really seen you. So how was your weekend?
I know. I was going to say, like, I haven't seen you in a few days, Keith. This will be a real catch-up conversation
here.
You were on holiday.
Briefly, yes. Briefly on holiday in London. I was going to say, I'm like, I saw The X Factor live. I'm like, I saw it on TV live. I wasn't, like, in the venue. But yeah, so I felt very, you know, quasi-British for a moment, like have been part of a pop culture moment.
Totally.
Even though X Factor there seems to be as relevant as American Idol here is in America.
Yeah.
I mean, I think actually it's more slightly more relevant than American Idol because like they're selling out like, I think, Wembley.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, the O2 or something.
Man, are they really?
I think it's O2. Like the finale was at the O2 Arena.
Wow, okay.
I think, or at Wembley. I don't know. It was in a big stadium.
That's pretty intense.
Whatever.
It was in a big British stadium.
One Direction, Adele played the show, and really, that's...
That actually shows that it is pretty relevant still.
Yeah.
That's your lineup.
So, yeah, I was briefly in London, and did not spot any of the members of Girls Aloud, Sugar Babes, McFly, or Kylie on the street.
Disappointing.
It's disappointing. I was really hoping I would, like, you know, be able to, like, you know...
Because usually you just find those superstars wandering the streets.
They're just draped across trees and benches. But yeah, it was nice. Did you do anything fun?
Oh, I had a really low-key weekend. Nothing worth mentioning.
Nothing worth mentioning?
No.
Nothing music-related?
No.
Well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast, which is presented by Audible this week, is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the week's big pop news, fun chart stats and stories, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. On this week's show, oh, we'll be talking about Adele again.
Wait, who's that?
Who is this lady Adele?
I've heard of her before.
She's still topping the charts. She announced a new tour. She just did a TV special. Everything's coming up, Adele. We'll be talking about her again. We talk about our Women in Music event, which happened last Friday.
Yeah.
We honored a number of leading ladies of music, including
some Pop Shop favorites.
Some Pop Shop favorites and previous guests. We'll be talking about that. We are going to be discussing possible Academy Award contenders for Best Original Song.
Mm-hmm. Will Nick Cannon have an Oscar next year?
Could Meek Mill possibly be nominated?
Yes.
These are all questions we will address. Plus, we'll be talking about how Josh Groban is heading to Broadway and some of our picks for possible future Broadway stars.
Mm-hmm.
And we have an interview with the legendary James Taylor. James Taylor called into the Pop Shop a week ago to discuss some stuff, including his first number one album on the Billboard 200 earlier this year, his most recent Grammy Award nomination, and what he thinks about President Obama.
You guys, James Taylor is on the Pop Shop Podcast.
I know, it's pretty cool.
This is the coolest.
I'm like is, that's pretty...
It's awesome.
Like, only on the Pop Shop Podcast can you get interviews with everyone from Annie Lennox, Nile Rodgers, Jimmy Fallon, and James Taylor to...
Fifth Harmony,
Selena
King.
Gomez, Elle Keen, yeah. Nick Jonas...
We're looking out for you guys.
We got everything.
Pop means popular, and so it covers a wide range of things, including James Taylor.
There you go. So first things first, Adele, she continues to be number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart with her album 25. It earned 728,000 equivalent album units in the most recent week. Ending, I believe it was last Thursday, so that would have been December 10th, I believe.
Yep.
Things I should know. And of that, 695,000 were in pure album sales.
Yep.
Yeah. So the album has now sold more than 5 million copies in America. It is the first album to sell 5 million copies in a calendar year since Adele's own 21 did so in 2011.
And this calendar year, I mean, it's, what is it? Not even a month.
The album has been out for 3 weeks. There are three more tracking weeks left in the year.
Okay.
And it works out quite perfectly because the sales tracking week ends on Thursday each week.
Mm-hmm.
So this week's tracking week ends whatever this Thursday is, which is not that interesting.
Then it's the 17th.
The 17th.
People care.
So then next Thursday,
little day called Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve.
Uh-huh.
Quite a popular day for last minute shopping.
Yes.
And then the following Thursday is New Year's Eve, which is the very last day of the year. So it's one of those perfect, perfect years where there's a tracking week where it ends on Christmas Eve, which just maximizes the volume of sales.
Yeah.
Plus, you're going to actually get like the very last day of the year on the very last day of the tracking week. Sometimes our end of the year week actually bleeds over one way or the other.
Right.
Like sometimes like our last week of the year may be like week ending on December 30th.
Right.
Or the 29th. Or January 2nd, just depending on where that week falls.
But this is the magic moment.
For people like me, this actually means something. Katie's just like, I'm going to go along with this, Keith, and just nod at you.
I was just going to say, I hope my mom's not listening right now because I purchased a copy of Adele's 25 this week.
Because you wanted to purchase it for people.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, just people.
Just people. God. I like the way you say it. You're like, I hope she's not. I'm like, you could save this. You don't need to say whatever you're going to say.
Okay, I bought a single copy of Adele's 25 this week for no apparent reason. And I feel like this is going to be a really regular thing. This is, you know, it's kind of crazy, though, if there are 5 million copies sold already, to assume that my mom has not already purchased this, but other people are assuming the same thing.
There's hundreds of millions of people that live in the United States of America.
There very much are.
Yeah. Well, here's some more fun stats about the sales feat, the most recent sales feat of Adele. It is the fifth album. Oh, wait, sorry. Let me say that again. It is the first time an album has sold more than 650,000 copies in each of its first 3 weeks of release since Nielsen Music began tracking sales in 1991.
Wow.
Four earlier albums did have 3 weeks of 650 or above, but they weren't the first 3 weeks of those albums chart-wise.
Okay.
So like maybe it started with over 650 and then had a week off and then came back up. Usually it's albums around like Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
So like the Beatles one did it.
Yeah.
So like it had a good debut and then it just got bigger and bigger as Christmas rolled around.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's going to happen to Adele, actually. I have a feeling that this week she'll probably have a bump because of her NBC TV special.
Yes.
That aired this Monday night. And then she'll probably have a natural big increase next week because it's the week of Christmas.
Yep.
People buying the album. And then she'll probably have a drop off the week after Christmas because everything falls off. But I have a feeling like there could be a decent shot she could do another million.
I mean, post Christmas sales though, like they gift who cards knows if to they're burn. Gonna you know Target's gonna put it on for $7.99 or something, you know, or whatever.
Right.
Like something could happen.
You know, so the sales continue to grow. What else is happening on the Billboard 200? Well, we have a number two debut from your favorite group, Coldplay. Head Full of Dreams. Yes, Head Full of Dreams, right?
A Head Full of Dreams.
Yeah. I had actually...
Not to be confused with A Sky Full of Stars.
I wrote A Head Full of Stars.
Oh, there you go. I feel like everybody could make that mistake so easily, though.
I wrote that on Sunday, and I wrote the story from London. So it was like, you know, 3 in the afternoon, London time.
Right.
And it was like still the crack of dawn in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And I wrote it, and we posted it, and then, like, hours later, I see a tweet from someone who was very nice and said, oh, by the way, Coldplay's album is not called A Head Full of Stars.
I don't edit on Sundays, everybody.
Just say that is correct. You did not edit it. Someone else.
Not naming names.
Someone else did. Well, the set earned 210,000 units in its first week, of which 195,000 were in pure album sales. Kind of a dip-off. A dip-off? Kind of a slip off.
A dip?
It's just a dip. Kind of a dip for Coldplay. But hey, it's their sixth straight top five charting studio album. Their four previous albums all debuted at number one. Coldplay debuted on the Billboard 200 nearly exactly 15 years ago on the chart dated December 30th, 2000. That week, the band's debut album, Parachutes, arrived at number 189 on its way to a number 51 peak the following year.
Elsewhere, that is such a good album, by the way.
Really?
Parachutes? Oh my God, I love Parachutes.
Okay. Katie's eyes just like popped out of her head, rolled over the desk, and then slapped me. You're going to like Coldplay. We're going to bring up Coldplay later on somewhere else.
Yeah. Wait.
Yeah, you just wait. Thanks, Katie. Elsewhere in the top 10, G-Eazy debuts at number 5 with his new album, When It's Dark Out. Rick Ross's new album, Black Market, starts at number 6. And Troye Sivan debuts at number 7 with his new album, Blue Neighborhood. It's his first full-length studio album. So there's your top 10 on the Billboard 200 chart. I suspect Adele could be number 1 for the next few months.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sure.
I mean, anything is possible at this point. Moving on to the Hot 100.
Mm-hmm.
Adele is number 1. You may have heard her. Hello is still number 1 for a 7th week. It actually ties her longest run at number 1 with Rolling in the Deep, which was also number 1 for 7 weeks. I have a feeling Hello probably isn't going anywhere, so it will soon become her longest running number 1 single.
Rolling in the Deep was a longer number 1 than Someone Like You?
Yes.
If I put Keith totally on the spot?
Pretty sure.
I remember Someone Like You being on the radio so much, you know, but I, like, maybe it, never mind.
Well, if it's wrong, we'll correct it later in editing. If it's not, there'll just be a weird, awkward pause right now. That's the beauty of this podcast. Elsewhere on the Hot 100, there's more stuff to talk about Adele. Billboard announced that her next single is going to be When We Were Young.
Yes.
We confirmed that with a source. Hello continues to have a significant lead over the number 2 single, Justin Bieber's Sorry. It doesn't appear like Sorry is suddenly going to jump and take the number 1 spot. Big movers outside the top 10, though, because the top 10 itself is fairly static. The Weeknd's In the Night jumps 37 to 19, thanks to across-the-board gains with airplay, sales, and streams. What do you think of this song? Are you familiar with it very much, Katie? It's okay if
yes,
you aren't.
It's super Michael Jackson. It's super 80s, and I'm digging it.
Yeah, it seems like to me when I was hearing it, and I wasn't super familiar with it until kind of recently, I'm like, oh, this is sort of like it's a nice meeting of Can't Feel My Face in the Hills.
Yeah.
Where it still has that kind of like haunting vibe.
Yes.
But it's still kind of poppy enough.
Have you seen the video yet?
No.
You should totally watch the video.
Oh, no.
Also very 80s.
Hmm.
It's like very Duran Duran, so I feel like you'll appreciate it.
I already am on board.
Yeah, you just need to check it out. It's very, it's just a really cool retro vibe, and it matches the song perfectly.
Oh, alrighty. Elsewhere, the Voice contestant Jordan Smith debuts with a cover of Queen's Somebody to Love. It debuts at number 21 on the Hot 100.
That's huge.
Yeah, it sold really well. It sold 164,000 downloads. It was the top-selling download last week.
Wow.
Frankly, I have not seen The Voice in kind of a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I think
I are on the same boat.
I think a lot of people are, but I think for some reason he's resonating with people. I think he's termed a Christian singer.
Yeah, actually, our Christian charts writer did an article last week about he had 2 number 1 songs on the Hot Christian Songs charts, like replacing himself at number 1.
Oh boy.
So he's had
crazy
chart success. Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah, no, he's had some pretty insane chart success for The Voice.
Also on the Hot 100 this week, 21 Pilots get their first top 40 hit on the Hot 100. Stressed Out climbs 45 to 28. The song is up in all metrics. And
I've been hearing it on the radio a lot.
They're having a moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
This year. They had a number 1 album, and the songs continue to get popular. And it seems like a lot of musicians are taking note of them too. Mm. Like, you know, contemporary artists are like, who are these people? I've seen them. Who? They're 21 who? I don't know what that was. Also, Brenda Lee's Christmas Classic Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree returns to the chart, re-entering at number 44. It's actually the track's highest rank since 1961, and it peaked at number 14 the previous year. Would you believe she was only like 13 years old when she released Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree?
Wow.
Yeah, so she's like 71 right now.
Oh my God. So actually she's like a young 71 at this point, yeah, for having a hit so early. Man.
Yeah. Jim Asker, who manages all of our country charts, mm-hmm, writes a kind of retro reflective piece every week for our country update, mm-hmm, newsletter that goes out each week. And it's called Coda. We also have a Coda in the magazine, Billboard magazine, each week. But his is specifically about country music each week. And I believe the next one is about Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. And in it, it said, you know, Brenda Lee, now 71. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
How is she?
What?
She's only 71? Huh? And then I'm like, she was 13?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Who? And now it's time for a word from our sponsor, Audible.
When I listen to Audible, I'm not flying to my third sales meeting this month. I'm on a romantic date with my vampire boyfriend, Pierre. That pale skin, those dark, mysterious eyes, and those pointy teeth. Take me away, Pierre!
Ma'am?
I want to become queen of the night!
Ma'am, something to drink?
Water, please?
Audible, stories that surround you. More than 180,000 audio titles, and your first download is free at audible.com.
Let's talk about our Women in Music event, which took place last Friday in New York. We had a fabulous breakfast celebrating women in music, and we honored Lady Gaga as our Woman of the Year. We also celebrated Loretta Lynn, Missy Elliott, Fifth Harmony, Lana Del Rey,
Selena Gomez, Demi Lovato, Tori Kelly.
We're probably missing one.
Kelsey Ballerini.
Yeah, there you go.
I hope I just named every single one.
That might be that.
Jody Gerson was our executive of the year as well.
Yeah, we honor a whole slew of executives and women in entertainment and in music business. Plus, we also honor a collection of artists. And they all come together for this breakfast in New York. And this year, for the first time, it was going to be filmed for TV broadcast.
Yeah.
And that show will be... When is that show going to be on the
air? It's airing Friday, December 18th on Lifetime. Yeah.
And there will be performances in the show.
Yeah. Selena Gomez performs. Lady Gaga performs.
Fifth Harm... Really? What did Lady Gaga do?
I think she did Till It Happens to You from The Hunting Ground. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
And Fifth Harmony did a little medley, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also fabulous guest presenters. Alicia Keys is there. Who else? Oh boy.
Yeah, Alicia actually presents Jody Gerson, that's who signed her when she was 14 years old.
Oh.
And actually, Jody also discovered Lady Gaga. So pretty good, yeah, like executive of the year. I guess she's done well for herself.
She's done well.
Yes.
And we also talked to a number of these stars on the red carpet as they were going in.
Yeah, because even though the show does not air until Friday, you can go on billboard.com right now and see our red carpet and backstage interviews with most all of the honorees.
I saw that we talked to Gaga and we talked to...
to Loretta Lynn.
Ty Comer, who is our associate in New York. I saw his picture. I'm like, gosh darn it, he talked to Gaga.
Yeah, he did. Cool. It was great. He asked her who her Woman of the Year was.
It's like my mom, probably.
Exactly what she said.
Hey, good guess. I didn't see the interview. I'm like, good guess.
That's funny. Yeah, no.
She's always my Woman of the Year.
He also talked to Tony Bennett about Lady Gaga.
Oh.
Yeah, it was really great. Is all around great interviews, so definitely check those out.
What did he talk to Loretta Lynn about?
Oh, Loretta Lynn, he asked her about all the kind of boundary pushing topics that she wrote about,
right,
like way before anybody was writing about them, including
like
birth control, divorce,
like the pill. Yeah.
And she's like, I didn't realize that people didn't talk about stuff like that. Like that's like in her world, people talked about, you know, having babies, birth control, divorce, whatever, and so that was what was in her music.
So that's naturally what you
write
about.
Just authentic music from her life, because she's the best.
You go, Loretta. Make sure you tune into the special on the 18th.
Yep.
And watch it. Tweet along. Tweet about it.
I'll be watching. Since we're here in LA, we didn't get to be there, so
yeah,
it's
true.
Kind of awesome that we get to experience it for the first time.
We just mentioned how Lady Gaga performed Till It Happens to You,
mm-hmm,
at the event. That song is one of
74
eligible
original songs
that are
just do the sentence piece
that are possibly that are contenders for
Oscar Best Song in 2015.
Yeah, there's a, so what the Academy Awards, what the Academy does is they whittle down a list of eligible contenders from films released in 2015 for the next Academy Awards. And so these are the songs that are kind of on the long list. And then the, I believe the music branch of the Academy will go through and vote on which of these five songs that they would like to be actually nominated. So what happens every year is like sometimes there will be a song that you think has a shot, but because of its placement in a film, or maybe there, you didn't hear enough of the song in the film, it doesn't qualify.
Like if it's just over the end credits or something?
Well,
or...
it can be, a song can be over the end credits and be considered and be eligible, but it has to be the first cue heard in the end credits.
Got it.
It's very specific, and so sometimes it's very tricksy
mm-hmm.
where...
tricksy.
No, it's very tricksy, because that's what happens. Like, you know, sometimes songs are just written for a movie in the hopes that they'll get a nomination.
Right.
And they stick them into the credits.
Yeah.
And you have to be very careful, because you want a song to... If you want it to be in the end credits, you have to get really creative about those end credits to make people... want the visual on the screen to interact with the music you
right.
are hearing.
Right.
Because if it's just credits that are rolling,
yeah.
that's not a very dynamic use of music in a movie.
Well, and what you're saying to me makes me feel even more confident that See You Again could end up with an Oscar nomination because
yeah.
they so thoroughly incorporated that song into like a pivotal moment of Furious 7,
yeah.
the Paul Walker tribute.
Right.
At the end. So
See You Again is one of the 74 possible, they're the, one of the 74 songs that are eligible. It was co-written by Wiz Khalifa and Charlie Puth, among others.
Yes, which actually Keith taught me this morning that it's a songwriter award. So you can't just perform a song. Otherwise, as Madonna fan Keith said, Madonna would have two Oscars right now.
Because two songs that she performed have won Academy Awards. Sooner or Later, I Always Get My Man for Dick Tracy was written by Stephen Sondheim, performed by Madonna
mm-hmm.
for the film Dick Tracy. Stephen Sondheim won the Academy Award for that. And then later she won, or she did not win, if only.
She didn't.
She performed the song You Must Love Me.
From Evita.
From Evita, written by Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber, specifically for the movie.
The movie version, yeah.
So she's one of those rare ladies that have performed two Academy Award winning songs. Anyway,
but
so,
See You Again,
See
actually,
You Again.
Wiz Khalifa and Charlie Puth were part of the songwriting team.
What are some, I have my list here somewhere. What are some of the, we parsed this through.
Notable, yeah.
possible, like, notable people that might, that could get an Academy Award nomination.
All right, my first one is The Weeknd, Earned It from 50 Shades of Grey.
Now, interesting. That movie isn't exactly Academy Awards bait.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Yes.
If they can turn on voters.
Actually, from the same movie, there's two others too. Love Me Like You Do, which was performed by Ellie Goulding, was written by Max Martin.
Ellie Goulding didn't write it.
Nope.
Huh.
And then Salted Wound, also from 50 Shades of Grey, is written and performed by Sia.
Oh.
So all of these people are eligible.
Who else?
We have Pharrell. I think both of us have Pharrell.
I
have him for It's My Turn Now from the movie Dope.
Yeah, I've got Pharrell from one or two songs from the movie SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water.
I love that title.
Sponge Out of Water. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he was just nominated a year ago.
For Happy
for
from
Happy.
Despicable Me.
Yeah.
Two.
Yes. but that song was ubiquitous. These songs are not.
Yes.
Yeah. So perhaps not. I've got, Rihanna.
Oh yeah.
She had a couple songs from the movie Home.
Which she also was a voice actor in.
Right.
Yeah.
Home, successful, but not like a runaway break blockbuster.
No. And I don't know those songs.
Yeah. No one knows those songs. I mean, someone knows them.
Rihanna knows them.
Clearly, Rihanna, Robin Fenty,
yes.
knows those songs. But, you know, do they... That, and also, that doesn't necessarily mean... This is not a popularity contest. Just because a song is known, that does not necessarily mean that it can get a nomination.
Right.
And conversely, an obscure song can get a nomination because it really just depends on when the music branch is voting for these songs, it really depends on how the song itself is used in the movie. If it's in a really pivotal scene, or you hear elements of the song kind of strung throughout the movie as like emotional cues.
And I feel like that leads us also to, there's two movies on our list. One is Danny Collins and one is Ricky and the Flash, where the actors themselves were playing musicians who then sang these original songs like within the movie.
Yeah.
So for mine is Al Pacino and Danny Collins, and Ryan Adams and Don Was wrote a song for him called Don't Look Down.
Oh, I was going to say Al Pacino wrote something?
No.
Darn it.
Sorry, Al Pacino did not write it, but Ryan Adams wrote it for Al Pacino.
Yeah, if the song itself can be not just, it's not just like, you know, a 2-minute moment in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
If a song can be elevated to where it becomes like really an important part of the movie, like in the Lego Movie.
Everything is awesome.
Everything is cool when we're part of a team.
I love that song so much.
And when you see the movie, if you haven't seen the movie, I'm not going to ruin it for you, but the song itself is actually like something that moves the story forward.
Yeah.
And you hear the song at least 2 or 3 different times in the movie. And it actually has like, there's like a plot point where like the story turns because of that song itself. So That's the whole point of this. Like, you know, you shouldn't be able to just get an Academy Award nomination just for like writing a song that runs over the end credits.
Right.
That's not really like a great achievement
in
writing music for a movie. Like, if you can write a song that like carries an emotional weight through the film or like changes the storyline, even if it is like tucked into like a big 80s blockbuster movie or like a big 80s movie like Dirty Dancing, like I've Had the Time of My Life.
Yes.
Like, that scores, like, the last, effectively, like, 7 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
But that's a really moving part of the movie. And also, the whole movie itself is all about music.
Yeah. Yep.
Who else is on your list? We can run through this really quickly.
Just, like, some names. Meek Mill has a song in Creed. Nick Cannon has a song in Chirac that he co-wrote. Josh Groban co-wrote a song for the movie Boy Choir.
I've got Kaiza. Wrote a song for Home. Miranda Lambert, believe it or not, co-wrote a song called Two of a Crime for Hot Pursuit.
It's an amazing title.
With Sofia Vergara. as we said earlier, Lady Gaga could possibly be nominated for her song Till It Happens to You from The Hunting Ground. She co-wrote that with Diane Warren. Juanes wrote Juntos, Together. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. From McFarlane, USA. Mark Ronson wrote a song that no one probably remembers from Mordecai called Joanna or Johanna. Megan Trainor, Better When I'm Dancing from the Peanuts movie.
Oh, yeah, Peanuts, that's right.
Sia again for Flashlight.
A couple Sias, a couple Pharrells. Pretty impressive.
Eminem again.
Oh, yeah, phenomenal. From Southpaw.
He's an Academy Award winner himself, of course, for Lose Yourself. And Sam Smith for Writings on the Wall from Spectre.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any other people, like huge people on your list that we skipped over?
I think we covered. I mean, we were talking about there's a song from the movie Freeheld that Linda Perry wrote for Miley Cyrus. So that's a song that a lot of people have heard since it's a Miley song. But Miley herself did not co-write. So it would just be for Linda on that one.
Are any of these, do you think, are like really obvious? Like, oh, that'll get in.
I feel like See You Again.
Yeah, See You Again.
Kind of. Yeah. And I feel like actually, even though 50 Shades of Grey is not Oscar bait, the two songs, The Weeknd and Earned It and Love Me Like You Do, were really big songs that everyone has heard.
Did you research who did the... No, it doesn't look like you did.
Which one?
Cinderella song, Strong from Cinderella.
Oh, no. I mean, I looked up and it wasn't anyone I had heard of before.
I have a feeling it could be, like, we could see something from Ricky and the Flash.
That song is really good, by the way. Cold One, which is co-written by Jenny Lewis. That one, if you could go online and watch the scene where Meryl Streep sings that song to who is her online? Rick Springfield, her movie
boyfriend.
Yeah, is Rick Springfield. It's a really great moment.
Well, these 74 songs are eligible. They will be whittled down to a handful of nominees. They will be announced on January 14th, 2016. I believe Billboard probably will not be at the nomination ceremony, but probably someone from The Hollywood Reporter, our sister publication, will.
We will cover it.
As we said a second ago, some of the folks that are eligible include Josh Groban, and Josh Groban is actually headed to Broadway.
Yeah.
He'll play Pierre in the new musical Natasha, Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812. It is aiming for a fall premiere on Broadway. I thought it'd be fun if we talked about what pop stars we would like to see on Broadway.
I have to say also, Josh Groban is great. He's great pick for Broadway. Like, and he's really funny.
Yeah.
Like, he's done a lot of skits and stuff for Late Night, and he was on The Office for a little bit. Like, he's just a good actor, funny guy, so I feel like that's perfect.
People don't usually think of him as being, like, because you think, like, yes. And then, like, he's like, hey, ha ha ha. Yeah. He's, like, funny guy. And he's kind of like, but that, like, Michael Bublé and him are kind of in that, they're cut from the same cloth, where, like, they're very clearly sort of these classically trained or, like, pop stylist vocalists, but at the same time, you don't immediately think that they're going to be, like, funny, like, like, engaging down-to-earth people.
Because
you just, I think we elevate those kinds of artists to a different level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's nice that they can sort of, it's like, no, I'm funny, I'm accessible, I'm engaging.
I'm a normal human.
I'll start. I think Adele would be a hoot on Broadway, even if it was just like a one woman show, just her just like riffing.
Oh my God, yes.
It's like, here's what I think about stuff. Thank you. Yeah.
You watch her interviews and she is hilarious. So yes, I'd be there for that 100%. Yeah. She could be like, what is her name? The Elaine Stritch.
Yes.
Like that kind of
Adele,
one woman show.
Liberty.
Exactly.
who would you be interested in seeing?
I had a couple people I put down. One thing I thought that could be interesting, because she started in theater, is Ariana Grande. And
that's
she
right.
has an amazing voice.
She was in, what was it? She was
I think it's called 13. Yeah. And I just love the idea, like, that's where she came from. And she always also has done some, like, really fun late night sketch kind of things and impressions. So I feel like she'd be awesome.
I think Madonna would be great on Broadway.
Yes.
I mean, she was on Broadway in Speed the Plow, but that was a play back in the 80s. I don't know. I mean,
she also could do an Elaine Stritch style one woman show.
You know, she's not really good with just, like, being, like, herself on stage. Like, she just doesn't, she's not good at just being loose.
Mm.
Like, sometimes she is. But
she's so witty, though.
Yeah, I think she's just the nerves getter when she's on stage, and when she loosens up, she's really good.
Fun.
So if she can just like sort of loosen up, then that she could do something like that.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Anyway, I don't know. What do you have any others?
My last one was Jennifer Lopez, who I'm obsessed
with. Which would
with.
Be great.
But like, imagine, because Hamilton is such a huge hit, and there's like this hip hop musical now. Imagine if they did something like that for her, like a showcase for her, where it was like hip hop, like dancing. Like, involved in some crazy story. Obviously, probably not, like,
Step it
a
up,
founding
the
father's story. Yeah, exactly. But, like, I could totally see her killing it in that.
My last two were Justin Timberlake, because he is sort of truly a multi-hyphenate.
Oh, yeah. Like, triple threat.
Like, he's hilarious on SNL. Like, he's engaging on Fallon. Like, he can sing. He can dance. Like, he can act. Like,
I would love it.
Like, they revive Guys and Dolls, and he's in it.
Oh, my God. Like, Nathan Detroit, Justin Timberlake? I'm so there for that.
For all I know, Guys and Dolls is on Broadway right now. and Cher has been working on a musical for a million years about her life.
Ugh.
Where three different women would play Cher, and she would play the oldest current version.
Oh, my God.
Current Cher.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That needs to happen.
Yeah.
Oh.
Make it happen, Cher.
All right.
I think now it's time for our special guest interview with James Taylor. James Flipping Taylor. James Taylor was recently honored with the Presidential Medal of Freedom Award earlier this year. The Presidential Medal of Freedom is the nation's highest civilian honor presented to individuals who have made especially meritorious contributions to the security or national interests of the United States, to world peace, or to cultural or other significant public or private endeavors. That's, a lot of different kinds of people. he's a 5-time Grammy Award winner, and he just received a Grammy Award nomination for his Before This World album for Best Pop Vocal Album. And the album was also nominated as Best Engineered Album Non-Classical. We spoke to him about performing in tribute to his friend Carole King at the recent Kennedy Center Honors, receiving, of course, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, his thoughts on President Obama, he's a big fan, and getting his first number one album on the Billboard 200 earlier this year with Before This World, and how we might see one another at the Grammy Awards this year. It was kind of funny. You'll hear it in a second. So here's our interview with James Taylor.
I'm finally on my way. The time has come to
welcome, James Taylor, to the Billboard Pop Shop podcast. So glad that you could take time to call me. I'd like to know, how are you doing right now? Where are you calling me from? Are you at home? Are you on the road somewhere?
Yeah, Keith, I'm in Western Massachusetts at home. This is where we live. We've got two teenage boys, twin boys, who are in school here in Western Massachusetts, and my studio is just 100 yards away from here in a barn that we built for the purpose. So this is both home and where I record. I'm well, but I'm just getting over a cold that Rufus and Henry brought home. But thankfully, I didn't come down with it until after I sang for Carole King at the
Kennedy Center. Yeah,
weekend. Yeah,
that's amazing. I was gonna ask you about that. That must have been a pretty special experience to honor Carole in such a really cool. For such a cool evening. What was that like?
Yeah, well, it was great. You know, Carole and I go way back. We recently, recently in my terms, it was 5 years ago, but we did a pretty extensive tour called Troubadour Reunion, where we got the old band back together and played about 50 gigs, I guess. It's been really great to see Carole getting the recognition.
But it's too late, baby, now it's too late. Don't be really dead, try to make it.
You speak of the Kennedy Center, and you yourself just recently received the Presidential Medal of Freedom from President Obama. I watched that live stream on the web a week or two ago. That looked like it was an incredible event to be with all those folks and to receive that honor. What was that like for you? Was that a pretty special moment? I guess that would be kind of an understatement to say, but it must have been pretty special.
It is an understatement. I don't know how to adequately describe it, really. I just completely took me by surprise, and I gotta readjust my entire self-image here a little bit. It's a huge honor. It really is, and I was just blown away by it.
You said previously you really like the President Obama. Are you pals with him at this point? Can you call him up on his cell phone yet? Are you that good friends yet?
I assume that he's busy.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't presume even if I could. But I am grateful every. It makes a surprising amount of difference to me who the country has chosen to represent it. And in the case of Barack Obama, it just makes me feel good about being an American. I feel really good that he represents us, and that he is, in my opinion, a wonderful president and a great leader. I'm going to miss it.
Yeah. I don't have a really great transition from this, but I want to acknowledge the fact that your most recent album, Before This World, hit number one on the Billboard 200 chart earlier this year, and incredibly, and I know you've commented on this before, I think I saw a YouTube video, incredibly, it was your first number one album. You've had, of course, amazing success on our charts, for decades, but a number one album just never happened until this year. What do you make of that? I'm assuming you were excited when you found out that you were number one, but how did you feel when you found out that you were number one that week?
It's more gratifying than I would have thought. I mean, generally speaking, I think that people have too much of a tendency to turn art into a competitive sport, to like compare one thing to another and say this is the best, this is the second best, these are the top 10, these are the, you know, I think that that's not necessary with art. Essentially, either it moves you or it doesn't, you know. And
right.
But at the same time, we worked really, really hard on this album. I think it represents my evolution as a recording artist over the 16 times I've taken a batch of songs into the studio to make an original studio album. It's something I've gotten better at. I have a community of musicians that I record with and that I tour with. And, I think we did our best work. Dave O'Donnell, who produced it, just was not willing to let it go until it was just right, until it was as good as it possibly could be. And I also feel as though the record company, Concord Records, did an excellent job of lining it up and promoting it and announcing it and releasing it, which is sort of debuting at number one is proof of that in a way, you know,
the
acknowledgement of the work that they did. So it was a great thing to have happen. And I think often, when this sort of thing happens later on, that it should happen the 16th time I've released an original album, it makes it all the more gratifying, I think. It was a real kick. It was definitely most satisfactory.
Who can imagine the scale of the forces that push this old mountain range up?
It was warmly received. People, really enjoyed the album. The music resonated with your fans, and I think with new fans. And we see that in how it just received two Grammy Award nominations on December 7th. So congratulations on two more Grammy Award nominations. I assume you're going to go to the Grammys next year. I would assume that we'll see you on the red carpet.
You know, I haven't. I haven't been given my marching orders yet. I'm not sure. What is the actual date of the Grammy?
That's a good question. You think I would know that, wouldn't you? I know it's a Monday in February. That much I know.
I think February is pretty open for me actually. I'm hoping I will be there. I can't remember whether they send you an invitation or how that exactly works, but.
I think there might be a very fancy envelope that arrives. It might be sort of gold embossed of some sort.
Like a gold embossed envelope, and I'm hoping I get the opportunity to actually be present.
I hope so too. And the last thing, and then I'll let you go. You know, we're coming up on the end of the year, and you've obviously had a very busy but fruitful year. Do you when you reflect on the past year in 2015? How do you look back on the year itself as a whole, and how do you feel about, how things have gone?
It's funny. Different periods of time start and end at kind of arbitrary points, and really I look at the sort of the beginning of recording this album in 2014, working on it all through the winter and spring. We wrote it right into the tour. We intended to release it in 14 before the tour, but we had a full tour booked to support it. So I did the tour and continued recording. We did sessions on the road. We did sessions in hotel rooms. We finally delivered the thing in January of 15, and then I continued tour. I did a tour of Europe, came back and released the album, did promotion for that, and then we booked another tour to support the album. And so I've been pretty much flat out since January of 2014, and that just ended sort of in the middle of at the end of October for me. It's been a very intense period of work, you know, a lot of touring. We've been to Europe twice. I've been to Japan. You know, it's just been basically a full tilt for a couple of years, and you know, it was a great period of time. You know, the touring, the recording, you know, it seems like it has its own pace. You know, it's like trying to jump out of a moving car. You know, it's going just a little bit faster than you can run, but you know, you've got to come up with what it requires. So it's been a hell of a couple of years. You know,
and you've got even more tour dates next year too. So I hope you are pacing yourself accordingly, and you're keeping those breaks so you don't have to, like, you know, tuck and roll too much out of the car each time. That would be
yeah, me too. It is. We're paying attention to how we pace the thing, and it seems to be pretty well set up for coming up.
Well, sir, I don't want to take any more of your time. It was lovely chatting with you. I appreciate you calling in, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday season, and hope to see you on the red carpet at the Grammy Awards. I'll be there with bells on and hope to talk to you there as well.
Well, Keith, if you're there, I'll see you there then. I'll look forward to it.
All right. Take care, sir.
Okay, man. You too.
Bye-bye.
Thanks again to the fabulous Iconic, James Taylor. That's pretty cool.
It's a pretty cool way to wrap up 2015 here. James Taylor on the Pop Shop podcast. That's pretty awesome.
Well, the year's not over with yet. but, you know, we're going out on a high note.
Yes.
You know what it's time for, Katie?
What's it time for, Keith?
It's time for the chart stat of the week.
Yeah.
Like from one specially recorded event to a non-specially recorded event. But it's nice to have that intro music. Da, 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 da. This is sort of a fun one. I kind of wrote this one a little bit different than normal. I kind of wrote it kind of evoking Casey Kasem in a way.
Oh, all right. Are you going to do Casey voice?
No. No, but I like the way he would, like, sort of start with a lot of clues leading up to what it was.
Yes.
So, here we go.
Okay.
15 years ago this week, an Academy Award winner and an Academy Award nominee teamed up for an unlikely number one single. The Oscar winner had won an acting award nearly 2 years earlier. She later married the frontman of a stadium-filling rock band. The Oscar nominee earned his nomination in the mid-1980s for writing a song for a blockbuster film. He would later appear in a number of film and TV roles, but is still best known as the leader of his namesake pop rock band.
Bonus points to whoever has guessed what this is.
Yeah. Have you guessed it yet? The two performers appeared together in a film released in 2000, which contained this surprise hit single, a cover of a 1979 smash for Smokey Robinson. The artists in question? Huey Lewis and Gwyneth Paltrow. Together, they topped the Adult Contemporary Airplay chart on December 16th with Cruisin', from the ensemble karaoke road trip movie Duets, in which they both co-starred. Huey Lewis, as the leader of Huey Lewis and the News, earned 21 hits on the Billboard Hot 100 chart, including 3 number ones. Cruisin', however, actually didn't ever reach the Hot 100, believe it or not.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it was a huge adult contemporary hit.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the radio forever.
Mm-hmm.
Just never made it to the Hot 100.
I love that song, by the way.
It's cute.
I own that movie.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And that soundtrack.
Gwyneth Paltrow, thanks to her guest turns on Glee and her role in the musical film Country Strong, has notched 6 hits on the Hot 100, including her highest charting single, the number 11 peaking cover of CeeLo's Forget You from Glee.
That's pretty impressive. 6 songs on the Hot 100.
Yeah, 5 were from Glee.
Okay.
You know, the Glee cast featuring Gwyneth Paltrow. And then one of them was from Country Strong.
Very cool.
Yeah, so there's your chart stat of the week. 15 years ago, Cruisin' by Huey Lewis and Gwyneth Paltrow hit number 1 on the Adult Contemporary chart.
Baby, let's cruise.
Cruising together. I love it. Well, I think that's all we got.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week for a very special edition of the Billboard Pop Shop podcast. It's going to be an Ask the Pop Shop edition of the show. If you tweeted us your questions, you might have it answered.
We'll find out.
We'll find out. Katie, do you have any parting words?
I just want to reiterate to our listeners that James Taylor was on the show today.
Yeah, there you go. Once more with feeling, James Taylor. James flipping Taylor was on the Pop Shop podcast. I think we should go out not on James Taylor because we heard a little bit of his music during his interview.
Yes.
We should go out on Cruisin'.
Obviously, Cruisin'. Yeah.
All right, well, we'll see you next week.
Bye.